kind of out of sight, out of mind. All right. What we're going to read tonight in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, you can also read in 1 Kings chapter 10. The first 13 verses of 1 Kings 10 is almost identical to what we're going to read here in 2 Chronicles 19. Or 2 Chronicles 9, I beg your pardon. Listen to this. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Now, we'll get to the rest of this in here, but I want to point out to you that this wonderful story takes place now during the 40-year reign of King Solomon over the nation of Israel. Now, Solomon was the son of King David. And Solomon ruled Israel from 971 B.C. for 40 years down to the year 931, nearly 1,000 years before Christ. And he's one of the many characters in the Bible that typifies Christ. And I like to find these people in there that give us a glimpse of Jesus. And we find that here. First of all, his name Solomon means peace. And our Lord Jesus Christ bears the precious title Prince of Peace. So they're alike in that. Now this story tells us of the visit of a woman who was ruling a nation. Her name, according to history, was Makeda. M-A-K-E-D-A. Makeda was the queen of Sheba. Now, if you start looking for Sheba in on a map, you'll find that it is present-day Ethiopia. And on the map, Ethiopia is down south of Egypt. So this woman traveled from the capital of of Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem in Israel. And when you look at that, I kind of measured it off and got a bird's eye view of it. She traveled over 1,300 or 1,400 miles. Now, that's a long way any way you take it. But when you get on the back of a camel and say, giddy up, 1,400 miles is a long way. I don't know how long it took her to get there, but she made the journey uneventfully, and she brought with her all of this stuff there. She bears spices and gold in abundance and precious stones that she was bringing to Solomon. But she came all this distance to see and to hear firsthand the wisdom and the prosperity of this King Solomon. All the world had heard about his wisdom, his fame, his temple, his riches. And people came from near and far to hear him. Now, I'm not going to be preaching a dispensational sermon tonight, but dispensationally, she is a type of Gentiles coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. So kind of keep that in the back of your mind when you think about the Queen of Sheba traveling all this distance to see Solomon. It was a long, tiresome, expensive, tedious journey. And when she saw this great king, she lost three things. She lost three things that we ought to lose when we see Jesus. First of all, she lost her self-complacency. She had never seen anything that was the equal of what she saw in Jerusalem when she visited Solomon. Verse 4 tells us, but there was no more spirit in her. I mean, it just took all the air out of her sails when she saw all that Solomon had. And secondly, she lost her estimation of her own court. She never again talked about herself. She never again talked about her court or her land or her wealth. From that time on, it was all about Solomon. And when we find Christ and the riches that he has, he becomes the center of our attention and we talk about Jesus. She also lost her unbelief. She said, I believed not their words. She'd heard about him, but she just didn't believe it. I believed not their words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. Thy fame exceedeth what I heard. I think of a scripture that tells us that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. We think we know it all. Our imagination, we let it run wild and we just go out here into fantasy land and believe all of these things. And yet, when we see it with our eyes in the presence of the Lord, we'll have to say, like the Queen of Sheba did, the half has not been told. Wonderful. Now, I want to point out five things here about Solomon that I want you to see about our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, she saw his wealth. Verse 13 will tell you about it. It says, now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Beside that, which chapmen and merchants brought. Now that's a lot of gold. The weight of this gold that came to Solomon, and this is just in 1 year now, was 666 talents. Now, talent was an Old Testament weight. We have pounds and ounces and things like that. They had talents. A talent, they had two kinds of talents. One was a common talent, and the other one was the royal talent. Now I have an idea that here we're talking about royal talents because we're talking about royalty and Solomon was the king of Israel. But had it been common talents, a common talent is 75 pounds and a royal talent is 150 pounds. So Solomon either had 49,950 pounds of gold that came in every year, or he had 99,900 pounds of it. How much is gold today? An ounce.
About $1,400.
About how much?
$1,400
an ounce.
See, we have two standards too. Bullion ounce.
That's right.
Troy
ounce. Yeah.
Troy ounce has more in it than the bullion ounce.
Yeah. So you just got a whole bunch.
Yeah.
That's about the best way to describe it. 99,900 pounds, and that stuff is selling at $1,400 an ounce. And there's 16 ounces to the pound, and you multiply that out, and boy, you got an astronomical number. The guy was wealthy. I'll tell you, the IRS would like to get a hold of him, wouldn't they?
Woo!
Man, that would have been something. Even the queen here brought him what? Gold in abundance. Doesn't even tell us how much. Those poor old camels carrying that heavy gold for 1,400 miles. Oh, I bet they were skinny when they got to the journey's end. They drank the creek dry. The Bible tells us about the wealth of Jesus. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Fullness, that means everything that's in it. Our God is not poverty stricken. Someone wrote a song. It says, "My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies and diamonds and silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold." That's the reason why God shall supply all your need according to his, what? Riches in glory. The Bible says, "He giveth us richly all things to enjoy." We serve a Savior who is not broke. And neither is he stingy. Amen. I love to go over there in Revelation and read about that place that he's preparing for us. About those mansions and the streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, foundation of precious stones. I mean, it's just wealth, riches, and more wealth, isn't it? And it's all that the Lord has done for us. And when we die, we want to take ours with us? No. I'll tell this about Rosie. Rosie couldn't find John's billfold. Still haven't found it, have you? And I told her that maybe John took it with him. But I'm sure that he didn't. That was just a kind of a pun. But I told her, I says, the next time you pray, ask Jesus, "Jesus, will you ask John where his billfold is?" She still hasn't found it. But it's around somewhere. God knows where it is, I'm sure. God is rich. Well, Solomon was rich. She saw his riches. She also saw his wisdom. That's one of the main things that brought her there in the first place. In verse 3, We're told in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 31, he was wiser than all men. Verse 32 tells us he spake 3,000 proverbs. How long has it been since you read the book of Proverbs? Read it again. There's quite a few in there, but there's certainly not 3,000. And he wrote 3,000 proverbs, and he knew 1,005 songs by heart. He didn't need a hymn book. He could just get up and sing and then go right into another one and just keep on singing like that. 1,005 songs he knew by heart. He was an authority on plants. He was an authority on animals. He could even communicate with animals. When his dog went bow wow, he knew whether he was hungry or wanted to go outside. He could communicate with him. Now, where did he get such wisdom as that? You read about it over in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 13. I'll not take the time to read it, but we'll talk about it. Now, Solomon, we're told there, loved the Lord. He was an 18-year-old boy, and he was sold out to God. He loved the Lord. And when he was an 18-year-old boy, the Lord came to him one day and asked him something that I doubt that he's ever asked another human being. He said, Solomon, you can have anything that you want. Ask of me what you will, and I will give it to you. You can have riches, long life, the life of your enemies, whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. Ask an 18-year-old boy that today. Well, let's see, how about a hot rod? He can think of a lot of things an 18-year-old boy would like to have. Now, here is 18, that's pretty young. I can remember when I was 18. I didn't have very much sense. I'm glad God didn't ask me that. No telling what I'd be doing today or where I'd be. But God asked Solomon that. Solomon had a responsibility thrust upon him because his daddy had died. And he had been selected to take over the reins of government for an entire nation as king. He wasn't elected to the position. He was appointed by God to that position. Ask what you will, and I will give it to you, God says. Listen to Solomon. He says, God, you have made me a king, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out and come in. Give me an understanding heart to discern judgment in the midst of thy people whom thou hast chosen, that I may discern between good and bad. Now, those are pretty powerful words coming out the mouth of an 18-year-old boy that just graduated from high school. But God gave him a wise and understanding heart. The Bible says, so that there was none like him before, and none shall arise after him. And besides that, God gave him riches. And God gave him honor. And God promised him. Now, this was a promise. It wasn't a gift. It was just a promise. God promised him long life. If this is contingent upon something he's going to be doing. If he would walk in God's ways and keep God's statutes and commandments. He said, I'll give you wisdom, I'll give you riches, I'll give you honor, but you've got to earn a long life by keeping the commandments. Now that is where Solomon fell short, isn't it? Because the Bible says that he loved many strange women who turned his heart after other gods. His heart was not perfect with the Lord, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's a man who had riches and honor and wisdom. He didn't have a very long life. He died at the age of 58. When you get my age and look back to 58, that's just a kid. Now, the Queen of Sheba traveled all this distance, and she sat at his feet. And she listened to his wisdom. And she was impressed by his wisdom. She said, "This is the wisest man that I've ever listened to. They didn't tell me half the greatness of his wisdom." The half has not been told. Now let's compare that for a moment with Jesus. For a greater than Solomon is here. Jesus knew everything. Even the secret things of the past, present, and future. This morning in our Sunday school, we saw Jesus in this house, and he was surrounded by people. The scribes and the Pharisees were thinking in their hearts about what Jesus was going to do with this man with the palsy that had been let down through the roof into his midst. He knew what they were thinking about him. And he knew that, and he talked to them about what they were thinking. He knew their thoughts. That's pretty wise. I heard of a dear old Christian man one time that said that he had committed everything that he had to the Lord. He said he'd committed his life, he'd committed his possessions, he'd committed his personal belongings, everything he had. And he says, "Now, if I lose something, it belongs to the Lord. He has lost something, not me, and he knows where it is." I like that. The Lord lost it. It's his. So we don't fear to surrender our lives to him who has such infinite wisdom. I read recently of a preacher down southern states who several years ago, his name was George Stewart, and he got with a couple of his pastor friends, and the three of them decided that they would take a trip to the Holy Land. They'd always wanted to go over there and walk where Jesus walked and see all of those things. And they made their plans accordingly. Well, George's mama called him one day, and she said, "George, don't go." She says, "I've talked to the Lord, and he's revealed something to me, and this is his wisdom. Don't go." George was brokenhearted. He'd been planning this trip. He wanted to go with his friends to Israel. But his mother, he told her, says, "Mama," you know, down south they call her Mama. "Mama, I don't understand. I've been taught to honor my father and my mother, and I won't go if you say not to." And she said, "George, don't go." His two friends got on a train from New York City. They were going to catch a boat, go over to the Holy Land. As that train was traveling up across the state of Virginia, there was a great train wreck. The train wrecked. And his two friends, preacher friends, died in that train wreck. And if George Stewart had been with them, he would have died too. But he listened to his mother, and his life was spared. Verse 22 says, King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Riches and wisdom. But then in verse 17, we find that the Queen of Sheba also saw his throne. Read about it. It was a throne of ivory, overlaid with gold. But you know, Solomon's throne is gone. It probably went to Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar came in 586 and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple and took everything to Babylon. Thrones crumble. Nations tumble. Governments fail and fall and are covered with the dust of ages. But Jesus has a throne. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, the Bible says. His is an everlasting, eternal throne. Today, his throne is a throne of grace. It's a place that where we can come and find help in time of need. I've knelt at that throne of grace. And I found mercy and salvation there 73 years ago. I've been back many times. His throne is also a throne of judgment. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. There's coming a time when the knee that does not bow before the throne of grace shall one day kneel before the throne of judgment. I was reading this week, this is amazing how these things happen. Two different sources. I pick up paper over here and I read it, and before the day is out, I read another one over here about the same thing. And this is an incident that took place in 1908 in Messina, Italy. There was a great earthquake that came. 80,000 people were killed in that earthquake. Now, some people believe that this is the reason why that earthquake came. There were a group of men, ungodly, vulgar, sinful, irreligious. They blasphemed God and they challenged him to come down and fight. And in less than 24 hours, the earthquake came, resulting in 80,000 casualties. Now, you can call it a coincidence if you want to, but some of us with a little spiritual vision can see the hand of God in something like that, can't we? Think for a moment about our nation. We were singing those patriotic songs, and I love them. But we have a nation today that is saturated in liquor, high on drugs, irreligious. Millions of people never darken the door of God's house on the Lord's day. They seem to be daring God to send judgment. And they see an earthquake and the results of it. They see a tornado and the results of it. They see a flood and the results of it. But they cannot see the hand of God that brought it about. The Queen of Sheba saw his happy servants. Happy are thy men, And happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. God's people are a happy people. Oh, they have their heartaches. They have their sorrows. Some lose their health. They have disappointments, unrealized ambitions. But the Bible says the joy of the Lord is their strength. The Bible says, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. No sinner has real joy. As Dr. H.A. Gordon once said at a Bible conference, he says, the devil has no happy old people. I like that. The devil has no happy old people. And we might add that he doesn't have very many happy young people either, does he? But the devil has never dried a tear. He's never healed a broken heart. He's never lifted a burden. But Jesus can, and Jesus does. She saw his happy servants, and then she saw his house. He took her to his house. And she said, I've never seen anything like that in my life. Everything is covered with gold. He had so much wealth, he didn't know what to do with it. And he couldn't find a safe big enough to hold all of his gold. So he just used it. He lined the walls and floor and ceiling of his house with it. I haven't told you much about Texas yet. I'll have to tell you something else about it. There was a rich oil baron down there. He also was a cattle baron, and he had lots and lots and lots of money. But he grew old and died. Didn't take any of his wealth with him. But in his will, he left $1 million to one of his dear friends. But his friend had a weak heart. And the people were afraid to go up to this guy and tell him, hey, you're a millionaire now. Your friend left you $1 million in his will. He's afraid that if he told him that, you know, he'd have a heart attack and fall dead. So the pastor, he gets into this. You got to watch these preachers. They know just what to do. He says, fellas, he said, leave it up to me. I'll tell him in such a way that it won't affect him at all. So he went over to his house, put his arm around his shoulders and told him. He said, brother, he said, I want to ask you something. What would you do if you had $1 million? And he turned and looked up at the preacher and he says, well, he says, I don't think there's any chance that I'll ever have that. May sound strange. I can't imagine anyone ever doing that. But if that happened to me, preacher, I'd give you half of it. And the preacher fell down dead.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, listen. Died of a heart attack right there on the spot. Now, Jesus tells us, in my Father's house are many mansions. John 14. Then he goes on over in Revelation chapter 21 and gives us a description of it. But even at that, back to our text, the half has not been told. We can read, and I've read it many times, I almost know it by heart, about those mansions and the gold and the pearls and everything like that. A half has not been told. But it's like a story I heard about a little boy that loved to go to Sunday school and church, but he took sick. He was in the hospital. And the doctor that was tending his sickness did all that was in his power to save him, but he just couldn't do it. Come Friday, the little boy's pulse was so weak, it could hardly be felt. He told the doctor, he says, "I wish you could make me well. I haven't been to the Lord's house in 6 weeks, and I sure would like to be in Jesus' house next Sunday." And the doctor looked at the little frail body there, and he said to him, as a tear coursed down his cheek, he said, "Son, you're going to be in the Lord's house next Sunday." And that Saturday night, about midnight, the little boy closed his eyes and he woke up in the Father's house.
Amen.
That's what's going to happen to every Christian. We'll open our eyes and we'll look around and we'll see the beauties and the glory, and we'll say, "The half has not been told." One of these days I'm going to see Jesus. One of these days I'm going to live in my Father's house. And I'm going to be with him forever and ever throughout all eternity. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Isn't God wonderful? He has made such adequate provisions for us, all of us, to be with him. And he's good to us here. He gives us good fellowship and good friends. And he takes care of us. We haven't missed too many meals. We have all that our hearts can desire when we have Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Sam Burton, will you dismiss our service in prayer, please?
Father, we want to thank you, Lord, this evening for the comparison here. Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, that the riches is all the riches we have in the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross to save us from our sins.
Amen.
Thank you for all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Thank you that already we read that we are seated with Christ in the heavens.
Yes.
The Lord, we have so much hope and your care and for the beautiful
God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.